Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
As you know, I try to pay attention to what's going on in the Pac-12 conference. We've had some ADs from various universities on this show. I still want to get all of the Pac-12 football coaches on the show. We've had Herm Edwards and Kyle Whittingham and Mel Tucker efforting. Of course, we get Mike Leach a few times a season because he's interesting and he's fun. The athletic director at Washington State is Patrick Chun. He's done a fantastic job there. And I want to bring him on because I want to talk about Washington State and I want to talk about the Pac-12. How are you, Mr. Chun? Thanks for making time.
Hey, John. How are you? I'm surprised you could keep Mike within a time window on one of these interviews.
He's always walking and talking. Is he that way with you?
Yeah, I think that's his comfort zone, is to be on the phone walking and talking. That's typically when he does all his calls, when he's walking. So I think that's just part of his normal routine.
How do you, because on one hand, his personality probably helps with gift giving. It probably helps sell tickets. He's interesting, certainly gets the program some notoriety and gets interest around the program. At the same time, he occasionally goes off the rails, and you know, like he did a few weeks ago. And how do you balance that? Because I know he's got to balance that himself.
Well, I've come to learn, I think, what makes him so endearing to our alumni, any supporter, student athletes, media, it's just his authenticity. So there's he's true to himself. And as you know, you've had a relationship with him for a long time. He is going to be candid. He's going to tell you what he believes and what he thinks. And there is not one thing that he believes and that he thinks that he hasn't thought of and has processed. So and that's part of what makes him endearing. He's wonderful. He's wonderful from an AD's perspective to work with, simply because, I mean, we have very thoughtful conversations, long conversations, but at the end of the day, they're well thought out, and he's very candid and he's very authentic, and that's part of what makes him so special.
Patrick Chun is our guest, director of athletics, Washington State. I've been focused a lot on attendance in football. We look around the country, we see some stadiums that are having some challenges in drawing people. You know, at Washington State, what specifically is that challenge? How do you get people in the stadium? And is that something that has evolved in your 15 or 20 years of, you know, being in major college athletics? Is that something that you see as a growing challenge?
Well, it's a critical source of funding for most athletic departments, especially at I guess, Power 5 schools or in the Pac-12. When you look at the revenue lines we control or we can impact, it's fundraising probably number one, ticket sales two, and corporate sponsorships number three. And for Washington State specifically, we have to operate. We're over 90% in terms of capacity at least the last couple of years. A lot of that is because of the performance of the football program. But for where our budget is, we got to keep growing. It's imperative that we stay there. For Washington State, men's and women's basketball is where there is significant upside for us. So we've made changes with both head coaches in both sports. We've implemented different strategies. We're going to implement different strategies for selling tickets, but it's a critical funding source for an athletic department.
Game times, I know fans are always focused on kickoff times, and I hear pushback for late games. Now we're talking, you know, potential for early games. How do you guys feel about both of those things and sort of the window in which people consume the games?
Well, it's a reality, and for us in Pullman, Washington, a late kickoff time does impact our attendance. I was thinking back to last year, we were, you know, well into the season, and we end up hosting Arizona at home, and it ends up being a 7:30 game or a night game, and there's a level of, I guess, administrative disappointment just for the fact that we were on a roll at that time, and just felt like, especially in Pullman, if we could have got an afternoon slot, it would impact our attendance. And we're just one of those places geographically where most of our fan base drives in a couple hours to get to Pullman. So the later the game, that does impact people's decision making because you know the competition of a widescreen TV at home is real. But late kickoff times is not the quality of your schedule, the performance of your team. There's a lot of things that impact, a lot of variables that impact ticket sales.
You and I have something in common. I noticed you have three daughters. I have three daughters. Bless you.
Thank you. I think we're both in the same, I would assume, Asian-American daughters, too. Both
yes.
Mixed kids, yeah. Yep. God bless both of us. Now we got a long lives ahead of us.
Do you have a boy dog? We have a boy dog.
We have a boy dog, too. That's kind of like my consolation prize. They call him little brother, so he's but he's been so emasculated by those three girls, he's barely a boy dog.
Do your kids, because you're probably on a football Saturday, you're probably, you know, you're working. I mean, you're not there to just eat a hot dog and watch a game. Do your kids get to go to, like, do they go to a volleyball game or do they go to a women's basketball game? Do they get to see the women on campus playing?
Yeah, really, my wife is a former student athlete. We met at Ohio State years ago. She played softball at Ohio State. So sports have always been a part of our lives. My three young daughters, it's going to be interesting to see. They are only used to seeing these high-performing, hard-charging, goal-oriented women that compete at the highest levels. And, I mean, even just being at Washington State, the quality of young women that we have wearing our jerseys. I remind everyone when I talk to every team to start the year that, hey, whether you like it or not, you're a role model. Thinking back to my days as a kid when Charles Barkley said he wasn't a role model, but for the young women, I tell them, hey, I know for a fact I got three girls at home. Heck, even my wife that looks up to you guys because of what you guys do. So it's cool watching my girls because they have tons of role models, and especially in the day and age they're growing up. Even on TV, my oldest thinks she's going to be this world class soccer player, so she can look on TV and see role models everywhere. So I think it's just one of the great evolutions of society to see these women competing and succeeding at such a high level.
You got to get her to a Portland Thorns game.
I do. She wants to go.
They draw 24,000, and you know it's crazy. Let me ask you, you know, because you do have sports like volleyball where your teams have been nationally ranked, highly successful, but it's not a revenue generating sport. How do you balance that as an AD, the attention you have to pay to football and basketball where the money is, versus what is your commitment to the whole department?
Well, at Washington State specifically, we abide by the theory you can't pick and choose excellence. So you can't just be great at one thing and average at other things. We don't have the resources to do that, and we don't know the pathway to do that. So for us, you know, you look at our fall sports, volleyball, women's soccer, they're competing at the highest levels. It's imperative for us at Washington State to not only identify those coaches, retain those coaches. If coaches aren't competing at the highest levels, we need to go find coaches that can compete and succeed at Washington State. But we need, we want, we desire, we want an environment here that maximizes performance, and that counts for everything, including sports, including we want to maximize our performance in fundraising and ticket sales and PR and everything that goes in running athletic departments. So it's to be at the highest levels, to compete in a conference like this. I mean, I tell everyone in my years of college athletics, I think the toughest conferences, period, are Pac-12 volleyball number one, and I think SEC baseball number two. That's how hard I think it is to compete and win. And you look at women's basketball, you could finish fourth in our conference and be the sixth best team in the country. So that's how hard it is in this league, and we got to make sure that, hey, we're competing, and if we're going to go field a team, our goal ultimately is, hey, let's try to compete at the highest level.
You have legislation in California that has been signed into law. You've got a lot of people in NCAA circles nervous about what pay-for-play would look like or what should this look like. What do you think happens with that? How does it shake out?
Well, philosophically, I've always been a proponent of anyone profiting off their name, image, and likeness. I think when you talk pay for play, you know, the whole employer-employee relationship, I don't see how there's anything healthy with that relative to college athletics. But with name, image, and likeness, obviously with what happened in California, we're years away from 2023. It's going to be here before we know it, but we do have some time. I know there's an NCAA working group that's been commissioned that's going to come out with their recommendations. But I would say when those recommendations come out, that's hopefully the starting point. And then when we get through kind of what this thing needs to look like, what are the regulations, how do you create a model that there's a baseline of equity for everybody that kind of hopefully eliminates some of the bad actors that might be out there and puts our student athletes in a position where they can really profit off their name, image, and likeness without doing anything to damage themselves long term. Hopefully there's a model out there, but there's a lot of people that understand this is the way the world's headed, so we got to come out with the best solution.
How do you get, I mean, the NCAA is such a big barge. How do you turn that thing, or how do you get one position with such a large entity? Is that part of the challenge?
Well, I think this is part of why I guess it would be almost a decade ago that the Power Five group changed the governance structure to be able to vote on things that's specific to these 66 some odd schools. So it's a process, and you're absolutely right, and it's going to take time. That's why I've always kind of with this whole name, image, and likeness, I've been preaching to our administrators, hey, we got to be patient, but we got to communicate. I mean, I'm sitting with our Student Athlete Advisory Council tomorrow night at their monthly meeting just to talk about name, image, and likeness and what are my thoughts on there, and just so we can have some healthy dialogue, because we ultimately at Washington State got to figure out what's the healthiest thing for us as we go forward. But I believe we're a long way from where we're at today to implementation, just because whether it's the NCAA, federal government, multiple states passing some type of law, what this thing is going to look like in a couple of years isn't what we theorize it to be today.
Washington State Athletic Director Patrick Chun is our guest. A lot of people are frustrated. I was frustrated with the Pac-12 headquarters and sort of the financial distributions that were being made. But the overall working day-to-day operations, the narrative is that the ADs have been brought more into the fold. Can you speak a little bit to that? Because you've been here during this time. Do you feel like that you've got a bigger voice in the room, or how has that shifted?
Well, I know, so I've been in this conference just under 2 years now, and probably a year ago about this time was a really low spot, at least for Washington State, because we had the issues with the officiating coming out of the USC game, and we had a athletic director meeting, and the health, if anything, that was probably a hard reset for a lot of us in the conference, where no matter what, we had to go forward and we had to figure out how do we grow from a tough experience that impacts everybody. Officiating, although it was one specific game, how officiating was going to go forward is it impacts every school. So it's been really, to Larry Scott's credit, I mean, he's in my time, you know, since that time, it's been a very communicative, collaborative league. You know, we all understand what's at stake. We want to, the Pac-12 is, you know, we have to keep growing the Pac-12. Every conference has their pluses. Every conference has its challenges, and we got to make sure that we're maximizing whatever pluses we have. And the reality for all of us is the only way we're going to be able to accomplish anything is unified, not fractured off.
You know, your time at Ohio State, I think, is super valuable. You were also at Florida Atlantic, so you got a little bit of a taste of really two different entities.
Yeah, I had to roll up my sleeves. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you take from both of those jobs that you can use at Washington State?
Well, I've had a perspective, if anything. It's at Ohio State, I tell everyone, there's not a problem you can't fundraise your way out of. And at a place like Florida Atlantic, I mean, there are a lot of problems you can't fundraise your way out of. So it's just really, really two different types of athletic programs, being in a big, broad one and one that's trying to emerge, and just melding all the successes out of those two areas, all the failures out of those two schools, and trying to implement something here unique to Washington State that gives us an edge as we try to build a model here that competes for Pac-12 championships.
Football drives so much of that conversation for a conference. What do you say, you know, when people look across conference and say, wow, there's just nobody carrying the flag, teams are all beating each other up? What do you think's going on there?
Well, the hope is it's cyclical, because I'm old enough to remember when there was talk of the Big Ten being down, and all of a sudden Urban Meyer gets hired and Jim Harbaugh gets hired and the Big Ten gets flipped. So the hope is it is cyclical. I do have a lot of faith in the quality of coaches across the board in this conference. I don't think our coaches take a backseat from top to bottom. Recruiting has to improve for all the for all the schools, including Washington State, to try to compete at the highest levels. But at least it is my belief we have the right coaches in place. It's just upon all of us to try to figure out, at least for us at Washington State, you know, how do we improve recruiting and how do we create this environment where young people can compete for championships here at Washington State?
Pat Chun is our guest, AD, Washington State. Before I cut you loose, you walk in the door, you sort of inherit, you know, the football stadium's been redone. Where are you with the practice facility? Is that indoor practice facility on its way?
Yeah, we're in the fundraising phase of it now. So when I arrive, our president made it a priority to finish a baseball project that kind of languished for about 8 years. So we actually broke ground on it on this Saturday. So that's a $10 million renovation enhancement of our baseball stadium. And then now all eyes on a $21 million indoor practice facility. We're about a third of the way there. You know, fundraising was one of the areas, you know, really when our president hired me, the focus was in all the revenue areas. So we took a step back when I got here. We retooled our fundraising team, our ticket sales team, our marketing team, and our corporate sponsorship team. So relative to fundraising, we turned over, I think, 90% of that staff. So as we keep growing forward, we've had some successes early on. We just had we've been fortunate to have some seven-figure commitments toward that project, but we need to keep pushing the envelope forward. The nice thing here at Washington State is there's a passion for the institution and the football program and a true love of Mike Leach and an understanding, hey, you have a coach of that caliber, we got to equip him with the tools to help him be successful. And one of those is having the requisite, you know, minimum standards that a football program at this level needs to have. One of those is an indoor practice facility, but I'm pretty confident that the people that we've been in dialogue with, you know, over the course of the next year, we should be in a position of strength.
Where are you most a fan? Like, if you go to a game, where do you most go, hey, this is like when I was a kid watching sports?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest, so if there's any, and I mean this in a complimentary way, Washington State feels like a Big Ten school. It's a land grant. You know, we have an unhealthy love affair with our football program here, and that's kind of like the schools I grew up around. Yeah. And I think that's awesome because as an athletic director, that's the type, I mean, you want people that care. Apathy is really your biggest enemy. You know, part of the challenges we had in basketball the last couple of years, it was just apathy in and around the program, and that's what we had to fix. So as a fan, I just love just how much Washington State Cougars just have so much pride and so much attachment to this institution. And really, it's always been the one guiding light as we go through ups and downs. You always know they have, hey, just give the Cougs a reason to support us, and they will. And even if you don't, they're probably still going to support us anyways.
You know, I work in this high-rise building. This show is in downtown Portland, and a lot of the financial guys that are in Portland are listeners to the show, and I'll see them. And there's a few Washington State alums that are, you know, working in the building, and they feel connected to the program. How are you managing that? How are you managing to get from Pullman to Portland and other places? Or is that completely necessary in today's fundraising world?
I think it's critical, and fortunately for me, we have the way our administrative team is designed, or the way we kind of set ourselves is we're really strong internally, and that I inherited some great administrators, brought in a couple. And that allows me to spend more time externally with our fundraising team. So when you look at a place like Washington State, because it is such a relationship-driven place, this is the type of place that wants a relationship with its coaches, with me as the athletic director. This is a place that wants to shake hands with you and look you in the eye and have a deep conversation, understand, make sure that your values are in alignment with theirs. So, and that's the fun part of the job is getting to know people and hearing the success stories of the people that have done things. And I look forward to your text message of all the Cougs that you know downtown Portland that I need to go see.
There you go. All right, Patrick, I really appreciate you making time for us. And when you're in Portland, stop by. We'll do this in studio.
Yeah, we'll do. Go Cougs. Thanks, John.
All right, there he is. Patrick Chun, the athletic director at Washington State. Love doing that. We're going around the conference. I'm going to get Utah's AD on, too. Why not? Is there a coach in the conference you want to hear from? Because I feel like in today's world, like the more that we can understand about the Pac-12, the more that we can understand about the challenges going on at Washington State. By the way, kickoff time set for that Washington State-Oregon game. People are not happy about it. It's a 7:30 kickoff at Autzen Stadium. There you go. Season ticket holder, you're either spending the night or you're not going. A lot of people don't want to be on I-5 midnight, 1 a.m. I know, I'll get home at 2 a.m. from those games. David in Astoria has called in. David, you have a remark about the interview.
Oh, I just wanted to thank you for having Patrick Chung on. I tuned in just as he was talking about all the things that they wanted to excel at beyond coaching. fundraising, PR. He had a whole long list. I think he even mentioned concessions. But what he didn't mention, and my question for you is, he didn't mention academics. And how reasonable is it for to expect an AD to focus on academics? Is it even a goal, or is it just something they give lip service to?
I think it is a goal. I think, you know, they've gotten better. I think as a whole, the NCAA members have gotten better with dedicating resources to it. I know this. I often will talk to athletes about their majors, and more than ever, it used to be, you know, maybe the athletic advisor knew who the friendlier teachers were to athletes. Now they've steered them into majors, wholesale major changes, and they have access to athletic department tutors. They have athlete resources, academic resources that are not available to the rest of the student body, to the point where I have talked to athletes at, like, for example, Oregon, who knew that they were going to transfer at the end of the semester. And they were afraid to tell their coaches they were going to transfer, not because they thought they would be like on the outs with the coaching staff, but because they thought they might lose access to the academic tutoring and the academic services building that Oregon has. So I think Oregon State, Oregon, Washington State, I think the Pac-12 universities do a much better job with it. But the focus of the interview, you know, maybe it's my fault for not asking him about academics, but I have a million other questions I didn't get to either with Patrick Chung. I just can't keep him more than 20 minutes, because that's about, you know, when I'm asking a guy to come on, it's about where I kind of go, all right, now I'm starting to be an inconvenience to this human being. But I know he wanted to be on the show. And here's the other thing. Here's how I got Patrick Chung on the show. I got a text from him after I interviewed Rob Mullins, the Oregon AD, a couple of weeks ago. I also got a message from two other ADs in the conference out of the state of Oregon, who also listened to the interview. They were all passing it around. And I think they all thought it was an interesting interview. Let's listen to how Oregon's doing things. Let's listen to Rob Mullins talk about it. He's the chair of the playoff selection committee. And I also think, you know, with Pat Chung, I mean, he's a guy that is up and coming in his industry. He's not going to talk about being a candidate at other places. It's not in his best interest, but I'll talk about it. I think this is, like, if USC's looking for an AD, this is a hell of a place to look. Washington State fans aren't going to like it, but this guy, it knows his stuff. And I won't be surprised someday when he ends up back at Ohio State as the athletic director. He is sharp. He is a fundraiser. He is connected to his fan base and his coaching staff. He flat gets it. And I think that is a reason why he's been successful in just a short time at Washington State. There are a few other ADs around the conference. Jen Cohen at Washington is another one. I think she's really sharp. I think she's good. I think the guy at Utah is good. I mean, there is a strong group of athletic directors in the conference. I'm really glad that Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, is listening to them and being more inclusive. I wish it had been that way always. Not the be happy what you're getting for speech that he gave a few years ago to his ADs, because he needs them. He needs them to be successful. These are the people, boots on the ground, who know the challenges on a daily basis. Rob Mullins knows the challenges. Patrick Chung knows the challenges. Scott Barnes at Oregon State knows the challenges. If you're not working closely with these people, how do you know how to help make them successful? If you missed any of that interview, grab the podcast of it. You got the bald-faced truth. Leave it right here. Stuff. We had two good interviews already today. Kenny Wheaton was terrific earlier in the show. If you missed any of that, grab a podcast of that interview on SoundCloud or iTunes, Apple Podcasts. If you have an iPhone, Apple Podcasts, super easy. It's what I use. All you have to do is click on the purple podcast app that comes preloaded. You don't even have to download the app. Comes preloaded. Just click on it and search for Bald Faced Truth or John Canzano, and the BFT Radio Show podcast will pop up. and subscribe to it. And if you go one step further, one little step further, once you subscribe to it, by the way, it will load a predetermined number of episodes right onto your phone. So you get the interviews right away and you get them in real time. Even you may get a notification. Hey, Alabama Adriana has just uploaded an interview for you. But if you go one step further and you give us a rating or a review, it does two things. One, it helps other people find the podcast because it raises the podcast in the search algorithm. Two, Alabama Adriana tends to skip around a little happier when you subscribe. So do that. Make Adriana happier and also help other people find the podcast. So really, you're just spreading joy in those two ways. That brings us, of course, to our big splash.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash.
Well, some bad news in Eugene. Jacob Breland, the tight end who has been the favorite target for Justin Herbert, his season unfortunately coming to an end. You have Mario Cristobal, the Oregon Duck coach, saying that the injury to Breland's left knee has ended the season of Jacob Breland. That's too bad. I really felt like he was having a breakout year, had become a favorite target, but I hope he gets the correct medical treatment and he gets on his way back to recovery. I wish that for him. Wish that for anybody who gets hurt. But season ending for Jacob Breland, and that's the one thing you need to know, is the Ducks travel to Washington for a big football game. They'll do it without Jacob Breland in uniform.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.